And welcome in, beautiful people, to the latest edition of Cabali and Mac. Look at that background. The king of the virtual backgrounds, Mark Cabali, is back at it again with the old, what is that, a Bell Vernon Eagles football picture from when you were like, I want to say you're like 10 or 11 years old there, but you're probably like 7, and you were just, the growth hormone had kicked in.
It was the Linwood Eagles. I'm trying to see here. I'm in the way here.
I don't have to decide.
I don't have a broken arm, so I must be 11.
So you're 11 in that picture.
Yeah. Because it
beauty.
Up at the old Brewer Stadium in Bell Vernon, Linwood.
Bill Brewer Memorial Stadium.
I broke my wrist in baseball, like the last baseball game was of 12, and I had to wear a cast.
How'd you break your wrist?
I see no cast, so it must be 11.
Did you have to kick somebody's ass? What happened?
Well, in baseball?
Yeah.
It was like some kind of regional tournament in like Bullskin. You know where Bullskin is?
Bullskin. No, where is that? I know the name. Where the hell is it?
You like Uniontown area, I guess, right around there, Laurel Highlands area.
Ooh, Vietnam.
Yeah, so I was pitching and hitting double, stretching a single into the double, and I slid into second and broke my wrist.
Did you do the old Ricky and go hands first, the Pete Rose?
I just, and I, you know, you brace yourself.
Yeah.
Broke the wrist. Football starts in like a month, so I had to have a cast on. And so that's how I know it was 11 and not 12.
Because there's no cast in the picture.
Boy, if we haven't lost people yet,
that thing is epic. We just got started. That thing is epic. Thanks again as well to everybody joining us here on Cabali and Mac, live streaming on X, on Instagram, on Facebook. On YouTube, of course, is where we ask you to go to subscribe so you don't miss absolutely anything. That's where you can watch the videos, the shows, whether they're live or not. Maybe you don't have time to join us whenever we do it live, whenever Cabali gets around to renovating his massive home and adding new pieces of furniture. But whenever we do the show, I said do. Got to thank our friends at the Dan Heck Team. Go to heckteamhomes.com. Looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They're the people to do it with. Absolute professionals and fantastic people. Dan and Michelle, Jeremy, and I, you know, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, all of them. Fantastic. I had some friends that did a flip in Pleasant Hills a couple months ago, last year really. Guy worked on it on his own for like over a year. They had trouble selling it, listing it on their own. And then finally, they went to Keith at the Heck Team. Bang, knocked it out. A month or two later, thing was sold. And that's how they get stuff done. HeckTeamHomes.com, our title sponsors here on Cabali and Mac. I don't have any fancy virtual backgrounds like Cabali. What number did you have? 65.
Yeah, 60. Well, you know, back then, it's whatever shirt fit.
Whatever they gave you, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what number? No, I do have an old story about my freshman year at the baseball, but I don't know if I want to get into that.
Why? Is it?
See, imagine this today, freshman year baseball. I'm still a superstar, right? Superstar.
Of course, obviously.
Batting like 600 superstar. Or whatever. We go on trip to South Carolina, right? Away, and I don't have a uniform that fits me, right? So instead of like getting a new uniform, the school district decided to like sew two of them together. So in my ass, there was just a big V on my ass and a different color gray. And there was like side panels put in. It was just like the most embarrassing thing you'd ever seen in your life. Imagine that happening today.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
I still drilled some balls down in the.
Of course you did, superstar.
It was I don't even know what university it was. I don't know where it was. It was somewhere.
Coastal Carolina.
Nah, I wasn't even there. It was like some kind of weird college. But, yeah, imagine that, me going up the bat and everybody laughing because I got a big patch on my rear end to make the pants bigger.
You were built athletically. That was all muscle, man.
How
else you drive the ball? It's with the bottom half is how you drive the ball, man. It's your legs.
I could sue the school district nowadays. Imagine putting me through mental anguish.
Is there a statute of limitations on that? They could name a youth football stadium after you after you're done with them.
Huh.
The Mark Allen Cabali Memorial Stadium. Thanks as well, by the way. We've got sponsors on board now for those that weren't able to join us yesterday. The Southwest Greens PA, southwestgreenspa.com. Whether you want to be able to practice golf in your backyard, yeah, that's a realistic expectation. You just don't want to have to take care of your lawn and be out there with all the chemicals and cutting the grass and everything else you got to do. Or, I don't know, maybe you want to put something out there for your kids, playgrounds, all kinds of stuff. They can do it all, sport courts. southwestgreenspa.com. Go check them out today. Tell them Cabali and Mac sent you. Tell Jake that you heard about it here. He will take care of you. Everyone at Southwest Greens, fantastic to work with as well. Another sponsor that we got to thank for jumping on board here with Cabali and Mac. Of course, streaming on all the different platforms. And again, on YouTube, youtube.com/@@CabaliandMac. Friday, Kaboom, I think we do another open form Friday show. I don't know what you think. Talk Super Bowl maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. And guess who I found? I just found him in the last hour. Guess who I found who's going to join the show on Friday?
I have no idea. Sloss Boss.
Not Sloss Boss.
I'm sure he's a big fan. He's a huge fan.
I know Sloss Boss would like to come on the show sometime. Maybe
which we were talking about, right? Maybe having a special guest, maybe.
Well, we're going to have a special guest for at least a couple minutes on Friday. I found Mo, the guy who had the terrible towel in Cleveland on Monday Night Raw.
Sure, he's not working you here. You sure it's him?
I'm pretty sure it's him.
I don't want to get worked because,
well, maybe we get worked. I'm pretty sure it's him, though, because I did some Instagram sleuthing. This is like his thing, man. He was at SummerSlam when it was at Cleveland Browns Stadium last summer. Same thing. Had the terrible towel out the whole time. So we may have found the biggest combination WWE fan / Cleveland troller of all time. But Mo has an invitation and said he's going to be able to join us for a couple of minutes on Friday.
You know, when they were in Saudi Arabia, I saw somebody have like a Steeler jersey on in the crowd. I wonder if that was him.
I stand firmly. It may have been. We'll ask him. Well, I stand firmly by the fact that there is always a Steelers fan somewhere at every event. I say it. Pittsburgh, everywhere, always. Which, by the way, they stink in that. They stink? Who stinks?
The Steelers stinking at.
They stinking at. Let's talk about them. Let's talk about the offense stinking.
Good. Let's not talk about my furniture.
Hold on. I want to get to that because that sounds like it's a good story. So you reported this like a month ago, right? The whole Russ, Artie friction deal. Russell Wilson and Artie Smith fought through whatever issues they had to try and work together as well as they could down the stretch. Jerry Dulac of the Post-Gazette yesterday expounded upon that a little bit with some sources, he says, from the team that told him Arthur Smith basically told Russ not to change things at the line, that he wasn't permitted to change things at the line down the stretch when they had their worst 5-week stretch of offense since Chuck Knoll's first year. Does this line up with what, I mean, obviously it sounds like it lines up with what you were told a month ago, but it sounds worse now that more people are talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, give Jerry credit. He was able to flush it out more than I have. I mean, we can peel the curtains back a little bit here, and there's sometimes you know stuff that you can't write because you'll
expose the source.
The old journalism 101 type of thing. I mean, you have
to confirm it with multiple sources.
Yeah, you have to be pretty sure of what you're doing before you accuse somebody of doing something, right? So unlike today's internet sleuths, you just throw it on there and say, oh, well, my bad, or whatever. So, I mean, yeah, there's been some talk about that, and I've heard some different things, and I even probably played it down a little bit more than I probably should have. I heard it was not very good in the last month of the season. I don't know. Once again, I don't want to say the words that were told me because I'm not going to sit there and put words in other people's mouths. But it wasn't the best of relationships down at the end, and then it lines up with that's the case there. And I guess moving forward, you have to say if he's coming off his best game of his Steelers career,
Second best game of his entire career. And the guy's a borderline Hall of Famer. He's won a Super Bowl before. He's been to a couple.
Who's telling him this? I mean, I've talked to Arthur Smith a bunch of times. Nicest guy in the world. He does not come across as a guy that's demanding and my way or the highway, the Matt Canada era, even to point Todd Haley, do it my way. If me, and this total speculation here, I would say that Tomlin's in Arthur Smith's here and say, stick with the plan, stick with the plan. Just like, what was the movie? Johnny Moxon, we're a running team.
Varsity Blues, yeah.
Stick with the plan, stick with the plan. Smacking him on the head with the whistle.
That needle touches his knee, you find yourself another goddamn quarterback.
You're the smartest dumb kid. You're the dumbest smart kid I've ever met. I wonder if Artie said that to him.
When he whips that whistle off his helmet, man, I have PTSD from middle school and high school football.
Keep laughing, shithead.
That whole movie is so quotable. I give it a tan.
Okay, what comes after that?
Tan, hey, what? That's when the teacher is the stripper. What's her name?
A ten, a blank ten.
Oh, an F ten. Yeah. So okay.
I think he's sticking with the plan. I think the plan was to run the ball, don't turn the ball over, let the defense win you games. And we know who that comes from.
Okay. There's a lot of layers to peel back here then that I got to go through. First is when I read the story from Jerry, it screams to me, and he said he's got multiple sources, right? So it's not just this one person, but it screams to me that sounds like a Russ leak to me. That sounds like somebody, Russ or somebody around Russ, telling Jerry, hey, you know this is what was happening, right? I'm not saying that's what it is, because I'm not Johnny Giorno like you and Jerry and everybody else who's at the facility every day. But that's what it sounds like to me. That's the first layer of this onion that needs to be peeled back, is that who's telling Jerry that Russ was being told that a future borderline Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning quarterback who'd had some of the – who'd just come off the second best game of his career is being told – not to make changes at the line.
I don't know. Russ is so straight line. I find it hard to believe it comes from him. Honestly, there could be multiple, you know, sources, as in this guy into this guy into this guy type of situation. And I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say how you present sources, but I know a lot of people have one source and put sources to make it sound to protect the person behind him saying, oh, it's just not, well, I know it's this person now. So that's the way sometimes that is. I don't know how he goes about it, but I know some people do the sources things just to protect the guy they have. It's probably a little bit lower level than that. I mean, I don't think it's anybody like Arthur. I don't think it's anybody like Russell. It's probably somebody, maybe a player, maybe an assistant. But I don't think it's coming from Russell. If I was just guessing, I don't think it would come from him.
Okay, secondary theory then from SFI on X, who says, I think it means it's coming from the ivory tower. The calls are coming from inside the house.
How would he know? How would Art know?
Maybe he's been told by somebody. I don't know. It's an interesting theory. Hey, and SFI says it's a roundabout way of the Steelers telling Russ, hey, go kick rocks.
You know, the last Tomlin press conference, everybody was hammering him about this, this, and that. Then I come in, Johnny come lately, and ask him about Russell and Arthur's relationship.
Right.
And everybody looked at me like, what's this dope asking about this for? I wanted to see the reaction if he knew anything about it at that time. So once again, peeling back the layers here of why I asked this question, because I wanted to see if you could read anything into him. So I don't know. I don't know if it would get to that point of Art telling Mike telling no Arthur telling Mike taking Art. I don't know. Maybe it's somebody as simple as a janitor that walked in there. I have no idea.
Bullshit. It's not a janitor. There's so much behind the back politics happening right now around the quarterback situation, because I imagine that there are plenty of people in the facility at 3400 South Water Street who feel like, well, I mean, if we could just run it back with Russ again, like we did for those, you know, 6-7 weeks in the middle of the season, we got a chance. And then there are more realistic people who are understanding, no, that was fun while it lasted, but that's not a prescription for going deep into the playoffs and really contending in the end. So there's just competing influences behind the scenes here.
You just better be careful if you want to push Russ away, right? Okay, maybe he's not your number one choice, but if Justin Fields decides to go to the Saints or the Jets, that's who your number one choice would be. So I don't want to alienate him, right?
Well, this is why I still, and I understand what you're saying. Russ has been very straight up with everybody since he got to Pittsburgh, as far as we know, and you're covering it every single day, so you would know better than me. But this screams of, again, to me, looking at it from the outside, oh, yeah, you know what? I didn't play the best down the stretch. Maybe even Pete's out in Vegas now. I got my options open to me. I want to make sure I can still go get paid if I go somewhere else. Let's put a story out there that everybody understands what I was working against, in so much as I was in an Arthur Smith offense and wasn't really allowed to do too much.
I mean, it's possible, but everything I've learned from Russell Wilson, I just find it hard to believe. I mean, most of the time I go in the locker room, I just people watch and see how they interact and see how they talk to people and deal. I mean, that's where you gain a lot of your knowledge at, yeah. Just seeing how people interact with each other, see what they say, see how they, you know, the facial expressions and that, and you know, maybe the side conversations. And you don't see that very often. The only time I ever saw Russell not being Russell was what game was that? The Colts game? It was one of the games where he came in. Maybe it was the Denver game. He just didn't seem like he was happy. He wanted to play, and he was being held out. That's one time. And near the end of the season, I think the Chiefs game, he was gathering people, going locker to locker, having conversations, which was unusual that you would see from him. Other than that, he's pretty much straight-laced. I mean, I guess I got a theory of who it could be, but once again, does it really matter who it came from? I don't think it does. I mean, it's just out there now. I think the bigger issue is it happened, and who's in charge of this, and why aren't you changing, especially after you had that much success, especially when you needed to potentially win at the end of the season against Cincinnati, you go a 180-degree turn, and your offense stinks.
So real quick, I want to peel back that next layer of the onion here, but this is a valid question from Nate on YouTube. Since you mentioned what Russ was like in the locker room and always seemed to be acting like what seemed consistent with the way Russ is, I think this is a great question. What was Fields like in the locker room? Because I think a lot of people wonder, it's tough to be a backup quarterback, man. It's tough to be the guy that maybe some people want to see playing, and you know there's not a chance of that happening, especially after he's been pulled from the job and Russ is performing well. So just how did Fields handle that?
Well, he just, I mean, straight laced, man. He didn't show much emotion whatsoever. I mean, I'm not being critical of him, but
yeah,
he was a guy that just, you know, went about his business all the time. I mean, he obviously talked to people, but he wasn't going to, you know, raise his voice or be loud or, you know, jumping around like some of those guys do, playing cards and, you know, on with each other. He went in, went to his locker, did his job, kept quiet. But I think I was just more of a personality trait more than anything else. Even during those first six games, he was pretty even keeled. It seemed like everybody liked him. I mean, I don't think there was any issue with him being in there. I think the issue with him was obviously, you know, some of the guys were like, at least early in the season, can this guy be the guy? Then after the first six games, they're like, okay, you know, maybe he's not as bad as what we saw in Chicago. Yeah. So, okay, let's respect. You know how it is. Once you're in a locker room with somebody or even in a business setting with somebody and they show that you're skeptical of them until you show them, then it's like, oh, okay, man, come join our crowd. That's what it almost seemed like to me.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that sort of low-key, head-down, go-to-work style of, hey, I'm just going to do what I got to do to try and do my job to the best of my abilities. And if I'm a quarterback, that should help everybody else. play well, should help the offense perform as well. I don't think I necessarily look at it like Alexis said on YouTube, Pickens said Fields wasn't vocal. Well, we all know George can be pretty vocal. So by comparison's sake, I don't think that's necessarily a knock on Justin Fields. Okay, to the point you just made, Arthur Smith not wanting to make adjustments down the stretch, or Mike Tomlin telling Arthur Smith not to make adjustments down the stretch. It's one, if not both, of those things. I don't understand how you can leave that Cincinnati game, the first Cincinnati game, looking at what that offense did. I get it. It was against the Bengals defense, and the Bengals defense was atrocious at times this year. But I don't know how you can leave Cincinnati that day and not feel like, and I remember all of us talking about it. Fans, everybody who covers the team were like, holy hell, they've figured something out with this offense. Again, we understand it's Cincy and their secondary stinks and it's a mess, the whole defense, but they just hung 40 on the Bengals. And it was like, this is perfect. Everything's going just the way we need it to. Russ Moon balls, open things up underneath for the ground game. Yet something happened that either Arthur Smith or Arthur Smith under the direction of Mike Tomlin, Mark, decided, no, we got to get back to run first. And then we got into this repetitive cycle of run on first down, second and eight, quick screen, quick out, or chuck it deep, and now we're third and long and way behind the sticks. I don't understand how there can't be more accountability for that, to get away from what worked. That I know it was 1 week, but to get away from what worked in Cincy.
I'm just trying to see, who did they play after the Bengals game? Was that the Christmas holiday tournament?
The Christmas holiday tournament, as Art Rooney described it, was a couple weeks after that, I believe. Let me go back through the schedule, make sure I have my facts right.
Because I was thinking,
they hang 40 on Cincy and then played the Browns the next week, okay. Right? And they won that one 27-14, and then it was the Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs run. Where
I'm thinking speculation wise, maybe they didn't want them to throw the ball, and Tomlin was looking forward to that Christmas break, thinking the only way we can beat the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Ravens is to play ball control, defensive ball. So even though this worked here, this is not how we have to win games moving forward. I'm just trying to think of why they would be such against the fact of how, you know, let him do what he can do. That's one of the reasons why they would bring Russell Wilson in, to have that ability to make calls at the line, do what he wants, right. See what he does, put up the big numbers like he did right there. So once again, this has Mike Tomlin written all over it to
okay.
me.
Okay. So
me, it does.
This is where I start to get frustrated again. I'm rubbing my face, taking my hat off. Like,
wait. I got one thing real quick.
Go ahead.
Look who just commented on our post there, the legend himself.
Oh, TJ head baseball coach, Tim Vickers.
Oh.
Right up the hill.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
If anybody knows the quality people residing in Jefferson Hills, it's Vickers. He's built to comment on that. Here's the thing, man. Like, I get wanting to – I get understanding that you can't maybe get into a shootout with Philly or Kansas City or Baltimore. But when you see it succeed, again, against the Bengals, I'll grant you that. But when you see it succeed to that extent, and then you beat the Browns the following week as well. I just don't understand. There is this disconnect between what the rest of the league, and we've talked about this, what the rest of the game, forget just the NFL, the rest of the game is doing, and the way Mike Tomlin wants to try and win football games, and it doesn't add up. The calculus is not coming together. I don't know if he needs a year or two off to like back away from things and honestly assess that as much money as they've spent on defense, as good as they may be on that side of the ball at times, that you have to be able to score more than 17 points to win a freaking NFL game. I'm getting all fired up now. I'm sorry.
I know. You get so fired up. I think we're like...
Because it doesn't add up, Kaboom. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they didn't have the track record of going 6-1 with Russ at quarterback and playing the way Russ was playing, especially the Cincy game, where they were trying things deep early, trying to stretch the defense and open things underneath for the run game and for the tight ends and, you know, underneath routes. If that had not worked, I'd be like, hey, I totally understand getting back to old school ball basics and just trying to suck the air out of the football, all that. I'd be like, okay, I get it. You're doing what you got to do. But they'd seen it work for 6 freaking weeks.
But, you know, after that game, I do recall Tomlin said that he wanted to go after the inside linebackers that they didn't think that they were able to. I don't know, maybe not Tomlin said that. Somebody said that the weak spot of that Bengals team was the underneath stuff, and that's why they went to it so early. I mean, I think Najee had 4 catches in the first quarter. So you would think that was planned out. It's just – the whole thing is just strange to me, and it's hard. You wish you knew back then what you know right today, right?
You knew
something was different, but you just didn't know to what extent something was different.
So this is where I'll come back again and grant them just the tiniest bit of grace and understanding and say, hey, I get it. I look at the inside linebackers for Philly and Kansas City and Baltimore, and I recognize that they're a damn sight better than the ones in Cincinnati too, and that you may not be able to get away with that same stuff, okay? Totally get it. But you had done it against other defenses where, again, attempting to stretch the field early a couple times with Pickens deep, or maybe, I don't know, actually utilizing Mike Williams, who you traded a draft pick for, and then he just rotted on the sidelines. Doing that early had worked, and yet they didn't go back to that. And that's the perfect way to loosen up a secondary that's playing well, like Philly's had to that point, like Baltimore's had started to do in the second half of the season. Get what's his name, the safety from Notre Dame, running all over the place, Hamilton, since he'd been moved to free safety. Attack those inside linebackers, attack Bolton in Kansas City, and get those guys to back off the line of scrimmage, and then you run the ball downhill the way it had been working earlier in the year. It just shows, and this is something I got out of Hard Knocks as well, and I've gotten from Mike Tomlin over the years. You tell me if I'm wrong, because again, you're around the facility a million times more than I am and a lot more than anybody else. There is very much a we do things our way mentality and much less of a we will adjust to what's presented to us mentality. And that's what we got down the last 5 weeks of the season. It felt like we're going to do things our way. And this reinforces it. This story of Arthur Smith telling Russell Wilson not to adjust at the line because they want to lean more on the run game. And whether it's your theory that Tomlin was telling him that, or maybe Tomlin just influenced Arthur that way, whatever it was, it's a very much a, well, we're going to do it this way, damn it, because we believe in this. And then you get 4 straight weeks of it not working. There's your proof. It's not working. And yet you continue to you just bang your head against the wall.
Yeah, that's how they used to do it back years ago, when they just kept running into the wall and just kept doing it because they want to be the running team. You know, you could probably throw the ball and get some yards here as well. They just set in their ways, certainly at times. It's just not a good look right now. I mean, this probably could be the worst possible scenario when you look at it. It was the Cincinnati game, then followed by the obviously Cleveland, then the 5 straight losses where the offense struggled. Now, if who knows how many times this has happened prior to this, and it worked out to their advantage. It just happened to set up it wasn't conducive to what they were doing moving forward there. So I don't know, man. It's
hell of
it's
an tough. Understatement.
I just don't know. I just don't know why you don't. If this is the case, Kansas City game, Baltimore game, you're like, okay, let's go back to this. Let's see if this works.
Right.
Because it hasn't been working the other way.
Exactly. And you know you're going to have to figure it out before you get to the playoffs, right? Like, you can't just continue to try it the same way over and over again, knowing that when you get to the playoffs, you can't win that way. It's just it feels very stubborn. Very, very stubborn. And I don't understand how you can get away with being stubborn in a day and age when things move at the speed of light in the current day NFL. Like I said about the Ravens last week, they didn't sit around and wait. They brought Dean Pees back to help out on the defensive side. They completely realigned the back half of their defense in the second half of the season because they were getting torched. And then they go out and hire Pagano last week as well. They see a deficiency, and they immediately move to address it rather than continuing to say, it's our way or the highway, and it all falls apart. So, again, just a lack of flexibility, and this is a Tomlinism. I think I've heard him use it before, being light on their feet. He's not light on his feet at all. He's entrenched in the way he wants to do things and just keeps doing them that way.
Yeah, he's not painting the barn red, right?
Right. You know what? You're exactly right. He's been given red paint. Paint the damn barn red. That's a good callback there by you. He's Mark Cabali. For those of you joining us, don't forget, you can listen to the audio version of this on Spotify and iTunes. Go find Cabali and Mac and subscribe there. Thanks again to our friends at the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, for being our title sponsors. I want to get into the assistant coach talk that we promised people we were going to get into the other day, because I dug up a couple names, and I want to see what you think of them. There's people in the chat suggesting names as well. But tell me the couch story. You were getting a brand new couch delivered yesterday, basically during the show. Like, they showed up minutes after we wrapped up.
What do you think? It was going to be like a used couch? What do you mean brand new? Of course it's brand new. Who am I going to go to?
I don't know. I didn't know if you went to like Value City Furniture and found something in the back.
It still would be brand new.
You never know. Somebody returned something. You get that old open box deal.
Speaking of returning something.
No.
Well, you know.
The couch is going back.
No. That would be the good part. It's multiple layers to the story. First of all, they come in and I knew it was going to be tight going down into my game room. And
sure,
the guy goes, oh, this is not going to fit. I'm like, well, why don't you try to make it fit? So to their credit, they got a bunch of I knew it was going to be tiny, so I had to get some modular stuff so it would fit down there.
Sure.
Four of the five pieces fit.
What it's about piece number five?
It's a non-refundable purchase. No. So I got a corner piece of the couch sitting in my hallway here where they won't take it back, and I can't move it anywhere. It's brand new. What am I supposed to do?
Holy!
I can't get it downstairs. It's like the corner part of a couch like this, and it's
an L shape.
It's like a little wedge. It's like a big wedge.
Okay,
but it fits down, but when you try to turn it, the wedge makes it not fit. Right.
Oh my god!
So I don't know. I need my friends at over at the Levin Furniture to do me a solid and like exchange it. I don't know if they're going to do it or not.
I mean, if you pay the so can you use the couch as it's currently assembled? That's the first question.
You can use part of it, but there's just a big piece of it missing.
Oh my god!
And it's in my hallway, just still all covered up.
So there's and there's no like back entrance to the game room, glass door, none of that nonsense, right?
Nothing. Yeah. It's just awful. I'm looking at the old receipt, and it says
non-receipt.
No cancellations or returns. I'm like, you know what? Why'd you sell me one that didn't fit when I told you the dimensions of my freaking house?
You need to go back and get this taken care of. Did you tip? Did you tip the delivery guys?
I had to tip him because he was here for like a half hour.
Okay. What'd you give him? You take care of him?
$40, man. Is $40 good?
That's
perfect. There was three of them.
Three of them? $40 between the three of them?
I just gave him $40. Oh, it's okay.
That's fair. They can.
Now here's the thing: they put a lot of work in.
Yeah.
He was able to get most of it in. Then he goes downstairs, and I got stuff laying around. He sees my kid's TJ Watt signed jersey. Oh, he goes, "What'd you do? Win a raffle?" I'm like, "No, not really."
I kissed TJ's ass for a couple days. It was nice to him.
In line. No, I said, I worked somewhere. Like, I don't really like to broadcast. I'm like, yeah, I see him every once in a while, and he was able to sign it. Because I went to Ben's house one time. Ben gave me a $100 tip and said, thanks.
Are you serious? Is that what they said?
Yeah. He said, oh, he's the nicest guy in the world. Nicest guy in the world.
Now you're a cheapskate.
Well, Ben's made $500 million in his career. I mean, let's extrapolate that over, you know, my career earnings compared to his. I'm thinking I'm doing a little bit better with the tipping.
That's how they got that great furniture for footballing. That's the chair that Spence sits in every week during the podcast.
Maybe we can get Spence on.
You think? Make a call. So what are you going to do with this thing? You got to go to the furniture store and raise some hell.
Old God Horse is hoping my walls weren't damaged. There's a little scrapage.
I mean, if there's a little minor damage to the walls and they had succeeded, I'd feel a whole lot better about it.
The problem is I have my old couch down there, and I got to sawzall it up, man. There ain't no way that's coming out again.
I'll be honest. I did that once in this house. We had an old couch from when we first moved in, and had to get it out. And it was fun to just sawzall the hell out of that thing and take it up in pieces.
Is anybody out there listening? Does the Levin furniture kind of help you out a little bit here?
You need to help yourself. You need to go and say, guys, it won't fit in my freaking basement. Well, then
they'll say, look, no returns.
And you say, I can't use it.
It's just sitting there.
I mean, at the very least, like, pay a restocking fee or some crap like that, right?
You know what they said? The guy sent me a text saying, yeah, the piece that fits will cost you X amount of dollars. Oh, thanks. Now what am I going to do with this one?
Exchange it then. Pay
a restock. No, it's just an addition to.
No, there's no in addition.
This guy tells me.
Look, I can only do so much for you. This is like the salt for the driveway all over again. I went and got you a bag of salt, and then you didn't even want me to bring it over. I can only hold your hand so much.
Well, the guy texts the wife. It doesn't text me. Then I text him back, or I think I emailed him back, because whatever email I text was just the number of the place. He never responds to me.
You gotta be more assertive, Kaboom.
I'm assertive. I just don't want to go down there and fight with people.
You have to. You got to make them uncomfortable. Otherwise, they're not going to fix things for you. I'm telling you.
All right. You know me, damn it.
Thanks again to Tony and everybody at Impact HVAC as well for jumping on board the Cabali and Mac show. We appreciate their support as well. Check them out on Facebook. Just search Impact HVAC PGH. Now the perfect time to make sure that you're geared up. Make an appointment for, say, late February, March even, early April even. Get the AC checked out. Make sure you're going to be good so that when it does heat up later this spring and summer, everything's working all right. Or if you've got an issue, it is chilly out there again today, where maybe your heat's not working the way you want it to, by all means, Tony and the guys at Impact will take care of you. Follow them on Facebook, and their number is there as well. Impact HVAC PGH. We appreciate them jumping on board as a sponsor of Cabali and Mac as well. So I teased it the other day. I said, I gave you a homework assignment because everybody wants to know who's the linebackers coach going to be. Aaron Curry's gone, and everybody has these grand dreams of who the linebackers coach is going to be going forward. There have been names thrown out. I'm curious who you cooked up.
I really doubt it's going to be all the people you think it's going to be. Jared Mayo's of the bunch and the Matt Patricia's of the bench.
Yeah, that was Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette mentioned.
Oh, it'd be Mayo a perfect hire.
I mean, it's the classic Brian Flores mold, right? Bring a guy in for a year, senior defensive assistant / linebackers great. Coach.
Oh, he would be great, but I don't think that's the case. You're waiting this long? Kind of
So that's the thing. Like, I keep seeing names of people getting interviews in other places. Like, who's the guy?
Here's the problem. You ready for this?
I'm ready. Give it to me.
There's one team that still doesn't have a coach, right?
Right.
New Orleans. They're going to hire probably, what, Kellen Moore?
Kellen Moore. They got to wait for the Super Bowl to be over.
So yeah. A lot of these coaches are saying, maybe I'll just wait and see if I can hop on there. So I'm not going to make any these higher-end coaches.
Okay. Now,
they go with somebody else, maybe. Then maybe that's why the Steelers are waiting.
But
I don't know.
I do see guys getting interviews in other places, though. Like there's the senior defensive assistant from the Lions. I got to look his name up here. Make sure I have it right. Getting an interview with Jacksonville. Liam Cohen might hire him to be the defensive coordinator there.
Duval.
We still the cringiest thing. His name is one that came up and is worth talking about. Aubrey Pleasant. There you go. I couldn't remember his name. He's one that has worked with the Rams. So he's got a relationship with Cohen already. He's worked with the Lions. He comes from quality defenses, working with quality players. Like there's a guy, I understand he's on that trajectory of maybe he's going to be a head coach someday, or maybe his next step is getting head coach interviews. Well, then this is the perfect next step. Come work for Mike Tomlin, who everybody still holds in wildly high regard. Work with his defense and some premier players like TJ Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, Cam Hayward. And prove your mettle here, fixing a defense that cratered in the bottom third, in the final third of the season, and go on to your interviews next year after you've had this, you know, a senior defensive assistant season, maybe.
Or Terrell Austin's in the final year of his deal. This could be a nice little transition. You go in there and maybe things don't work out for TA, and they move on from him, and all of a sudden you got a DC in waiting right there for you, right?
Same exact.
So it should be attractive enough, right?
Yes, same exact play they ran when they brought Canada in to replace Feet. Yeah.
And Terrell Austin, they brought him and threw him as like safeties coach or whatever they called him at the time, and we know darn well what he was. He was just Butler's
DC in waiting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you would think that that would attract some people thinking, okay, maybe I'm not going to be – I mean, even the higher-end position coaches, the guys that want to get back into coordinating, this should be a job where you're like, okay, I have an opportunity to advance quite quickly here. If I go in there and be the linebackers coach, I'm just throw the mayo out there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's going to take him some time to get back onto the scene of a head coach. Why not? But Steelers do not come out and tell us they're interviewing people or anything. Some organizations do. We've completed interviews with so-and-so. Most of those are due with coordinators, I think. But
so Steelers. Nate asking on YouTube if they've even started the interview process at all yet. We have no idea of knowing
anything.
Okay.
I don't even think we're allowed to be in the facility to even.
You can sit in the parking lot, right? Sit outside the gate and watch it close up.
I guess we are allowed to go down and sit in the media room, which is about 300 yards removed from the facility. So I'm sure.
So, yeah, take a lawn chair and sit outside there and watch who walks in the building, right?
Nah, not even. We'd probably get yelled at. The room with no windows,
right,
secluded from everything else. It's hard to accidentally run into people. I used to do that all the time back in the day. When he hired Haley, I would just go and sit in the media room, pretend like I'm working, and just like, oh, I need a drink of water.
Well, that was perfect because it was right down the hall from the coach's offices.
And I would, I ran into Ben one time. Hey, Ben. Hey. I said, well, you talked to Haley yet? Nope. I just tweeted out, Haley, my man said he has not talked to Haley yet. Blew up.
That was, I mean, not to go all old man story time, but when the media workroom was directly upstairs from the main entrance. It's the
offensive line coach room now.
Yeah. When it was up there, you had incredible access, like you said. Yeah. You would walk down the hall to, to use the bathroom or to go downstairs to get something to eat. And you would see back in the day when Mr. Rooney was still around a good bit, you would see him just walking around. He'd say hi and talk to you, ask how you were doing, all this kind of stuff. And now, like you said, it's so detached. They don't even want people in the locker room, which, you know.
Well, that was just, speaking of that, you remember the old, we don't want you talking to players in the locker room? Every single player just scoffed at that. Not one person in the league made you go outside and talk to them. They're like, we're not doing this stupid stuff. And that's the way it was. It's just dumb. I mean, get me off on a tangent here, but the NFLPA is fighting for reporters not to be in the locker room, and the players are like, this is stupid. No, I'm sitting right here.
Yeah, because they don't want to have to get up and walk outside to do an interview. Okay, so you do you have any names whatsoever other than the Gerard Mayo Avenue that would – because Mayo, I think you make a good point. Maybe he's sitting around waiting to see how things shake out with other teams and who gets hired where. And then maybe he comes back around and Tomlin says, hey, you know, you could be D.C. in New Orleans, but I'll bring you in here as like a special assistant and maybe you got a job in a year. Is that, I mean, other than that, what else are we looking at? Typical nameless gray faces the Steelers bring in as
probably assistants. Somebody saw or knows or talked to at the senior bowl. It tends to happen. He goes shopping there from time to time from players there. I know somebody just mentioned Bobby Slowick. He seems like a guy that's waiting to get that OC job in New Orleans if, you know, Kellen Moore gets the job, right? Doesn't he just seem like, okay, I'm waiting here?
Like, I know the Texans had their issues this year. They did. But their offensive line played like crap. They dealt with a bunch of injuries at receiver, especially. And it was Stroud's second year. So he took a little half step back. I think that was to be expected, to be honest.
Well,
I
don't, half the receivers got hurt, too.
That's what I'm saying. Hurt. There was a million things going on. Hurt. So, like, I think Slowick is a perfect example of a guy who probably got dismissed a little too early, had to bite the bullet for the offense struggling at times this year, who has worked with a young quarterback who maybe didn't have the best, you know, didn't, in Fields' case, didn't have the best offensive assistants around him early in his career. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to do it. I can just about guarantee they're not going to do it. But they need to seriously consider, and this is what I mean when I talk about being aggressive and addressing problems early on. Go get Slowick, bring him in as like an offensive assistant of some sort. I don't care what label you want to put on it, and I don't care how threatened Artie is by it, Arthur Smith. Bring him in and let him work with Fields. Look what he did with Stroud last year, man. And imagine what he could do with Fields, who already, to be honest, looked pretty comfortable at times. I know we talked about the fumbling issues, but looked pretty comfortable at times in Arthur Smith's offense. Bring Slowick in. Let him serve as an extra set of eyes and ears, a senior quarterback's coach or whatever the hell you want to call it, and bring Fields along. Instead, they'll wait until the offense struggles for another year, regardless of who the quarterback is, because they'll focus on the run too much because that's what Mike T wants to do. And then they'll let Arthur Smith languish for another year. It's just, this is what I mean by being proactive.
Yeah, but we don't know. I mean, in their defense a little bit, maybe they did reach out with it to them, and he's like, I don't want to come here. I mean, there is always a two-way street. We look at it, Steelers should do this, Steelers should do this, Steelers should do this. There is another side of this guy saying, why would I want to go there?
Well, and that's
other places.
And that's where we loop back around on your theory of Tomlin telling Arthur Smith to lean into the run down the stretch. And I get it. Players want to come play for Mike Tomlin in a lot of instances. But I got a hard time believing, and this is where I'll push back on your coaching tree stuff. Yes, I got a hard time believing coaches are lining up around the corner to come work for Mike Tomlin. It worked for Flores for a year, right? He was able to, you know, build himself back up, go get a DC job in a good place. But how many other times have we seen assistant coaches come in, work for Mike Tomlin, and then go off to much greater things?
Well, the thing is that Mike tends to hire older, more experienced gentlemen at those positions. So if you're going to go, you're not going to really go poach a Keith Butler, right? You're not going to go poach to a degree at a Todd Haley, even though he went to Cleveland after he got whacked. So that's his, it's the way he runs his organization, his coaching staff. There was a time early on when he had Scotty Montgomery. Scotty Montgomery's bounced around a bunch of different places,
right?
Where he didn't really believe that the wide receiver coach was controlling some of the receivers as well as they could. So he brought in some veteran coaches at that point where they would more or less listen to him at times too. So that's just their theory. They got the old experienced guys are in the higher levels. Then they got a bunch of young guys down here as well. They don't have, I don't think, in my opinion, enough of those middle guys, like maybe the Mayos and the,
Slowicks,
like we're talking about, like that.
Yeah.
And other, they don't have those middle guys. It's either here or here.
This is how you end up being stagnant in your beliefs about how the game works and end up bouncing your head against a brick wall for the final 5 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. And this is how you end up with a disconnect between Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson after the Cincy game, because you just decide that your organizational philosophy is going to be what it is, like I said earlier, and you're not going to change. You're not going to paint your barn red if you've been given red paint.
On the flip side of that, the Ravens changed so much and they haven't been in a Super Bowl in 13 years. And they have
I'll happily have a 13-year Super Bowl drought if they're constantly trying something new. I'll look at it and say, oh, shit, at least they tried to get better. Instead, we get a 15-year Super Bowl drought appearance, and it's like, well, we'll just keep doing things the way we've been doing.
They've tried a lot the past couple of years. A little disappointing how this year has gone so far and trying something different or going in a different direction. It sure looks like it's status quo right now, but the previous couple, they did a lot of things differently.
Don't worry. Once all these assistants get snapped up in Jacksonville, New Orleans, on all these other places, they'll find some great guys, I'm sure, who are just sitting around doing nothing. And then they'll sit around and wait for the quarterback thing to get figured out by other teams. And then, you know, Kyle Allen will start this year, or Jalen Milroe. I can't. Now I'm all pissed off again. I got to take a deep breath. Woosah. And just relax.
Woosah. What
Woosah. Bad Boys 2. Woosah.
Am I supposed to watch that movie too?
How have you not seen The Godfather or Goodfellas? Can we start
what
there?
What does this have to do with Musa?
Woosa. Woosa. You rub your earlobes and say,
I am not rubbing my earlobes.
Is that a spot for you? Kaboom.
It's just weird. It's weird as I have this guy behind me right now.
Guy looks like a stud. I don't know what you're talking about.
This guy right here. Hey. But I won't do that.
Somebody who's calling themselves Mark Malone on
YouTube. You can tell he's our age. He used the word dillhole.
Get rid of both dillhole QBs. Draft Tyler. I think he means Tyler Shuck from Louisville. And Will Howard in the middle rounds.
Yeah, that'll fix everything.
I'm sorry. That sounds like drafting Mark Malone to replace Terry Bradshaw. No thanks. I'm good.
Dill hole. I haven't used the word dill hole in a while.
Dill
hole. I mean, that's definitely a 90s term, right?
That may be another Kabali and Mac t-shirt design, which, by the way.
Was that legit?
Yes, you can get them. I tweeted the link out last night. You can get Kabali and Mac t-shirts now. One that says dry, wet, dry for your dude wipes process. And one that says Pittsburgh everywhere, always, in honor of people like Mo, the terrible towel guy at Raw in Cleveland, who will join us on Friday, which will be an open forum Friday show.
Huh.
Yeah. People can buy t-shirts now.
I mean, do I get a discount?
I don't think so.
That was a really, really good.
That was the nicest possible way I could say no.
That's a really good design you put out there.
You didn't like it?
I was like, what?
I got dry, wet, dry.
I know, but it was like boring.
What else do you want? A picture of somebody wiping their ass?
There it is. Yeah.
It's about the slogan. It's about
why'd you go with the blue in the middle?
Because it's wet. Dry, wet, dry.
Wet is blue?
I mean,
I always thought water was clear, not blue.
Yeah, but it's associated with the color blue, Mark.
Okay.
You can't do clear on a t-shirt.
Is this sort of like for the brand? Dry, wet, dry.
Yeah. Let's get Pat to put them up on his website.
Now, if somebody actually buys one of those, they need their heads.
They do not need their heads examined.
Yes,
they need applauded and celebrated like every other great Yinzer who you're not behind.
Absolutely nobody even looked at it. 800 people.
Hey, it's out there. I'll tweet it again. I don't care.
I'll just retweet your tweet right now.
There you go. Bang. So Friday, again, an open forum Friday show. You're welcome to get your questions in. I saw you've got a mailbag up on your account right now as well that you'll be doing for.
I'm actually halfway done with it, but I haven't finished it yet. They get kind of redundant.
They do. So I'll ask this one.
Get rid of Tomlin, blah, 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 blah.
I'll ask this one from Justin on YouTube before we wrap this edition of the show up and move on to open forum Friday in a few days. Do you think field signing before free agency starts is a strong possibility?
No.
No way in hell?
I would say no way.
Zero to 10. Zero being no way in hell. 10 being there's a good chance.
One.
Yikes. I mean, I don't blame them for testing free agency. I would.
Why not? I mean, what are they going to do? Steelers going to try to strong arm him, say, hey, sign now or we don't want you? He's like, fine, I'll go over here. I'll go to the Jets. I'll go to the Giants. I'll go to the Saints. I'll go to here.
I mean, maybe make a little bit of a sweeter offer than you think he's going to get on the open market.
And that then, might be... you're going to sit here and complain.
I know, you're bidding against yourself, and then we're going to bust their balls for that. I'll be honest, you can't sit around and wait. Otherwise, again, you're not going to have a quarterback.
Unless he loves it here and he's guaranteed, but I don't know how you feel guaranteed with everything. You came here because... You told your quarterback that last year in Kenny Pickett that he was your number one. Then a week later, you signed Russell Wilson. So how much trust can be with that position?
I mean, Kenny Pickett is one thing. You know what I mean?
They told him, Kenny, we have full trust in Kenny. Week later, here comes Russell.
Yeah, Kenny qualifies as a dill hole. Okay, we're going to go with that.
That's because your Penn State thing. You got
to
let that
go. It has nothing to do with Penn State or Pitt. Kenny was.
Isn't this about the time of year you Penn Staters just start talking about wrestling? Like, boy, Kel Sanderson, unbelievable organism program.
I mean, they are pretty good. Goth Horse is right. Justin Fields ain't no dill hole. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Cabali and Mac. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, okay? Go there, subscribe. And catch up on anything you may have missed as well. We'll do another edition on Friday. Thanks again to Impact HVAC. Thanks again to Southwest Greens PA. And, of course, to our title sponsors, the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, all of them, we appreciate them for jumping on board as sponsors. Kaboom. Go to the furniture store and complain, please. Get it taken care of.
Speaking of that. They're coming to fix my fireplace here in a little bit. Jeez. That should be nice.
Okay. After that's done, go to the furniture store
and get things taken care of. I walked in my house about a couple weeks ago and it smelled like natural gas.
That's no good. They'll fix it up for you.
Lucky I didn't rip one.
Dry, wet, dry. He's Mark Cabali. I'm Chris Mack. This has been Cabali and Mack.